Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Football Garbage Time NFL Podcast. I'm Hudson Long, editor-in-chief of Football Garbage Time, and I have Ryan Whitfield here, senior staff writer of Football Garbage Time, and we're going to be talking to this week about week four, all our takeaways, all the highlights, all the things that we saw that we want to highlight for you, our listeners. So, Ryan, interesting week four, wouldn't you say? A lot of things going on here, a lot of things to talk about. How'd you take it, generally? What's your takeaway from this week? And is there something that really hit you this last week?
Yeah, I think this is the time of the year you start to see teams separate and teams either elevate or really fall behind. So, weeks four through eight are really, an interesting time. So, it's when it starts to get good.
All right, so let's, without anything further to do, let's hit some of those games. Okay, let's start with Panthers versus the Falcons. I know there's a lot to talk about here, but this one was a doozy. Lots of scoring, very little defense, not what we expected. Panthers end up losing this one, 33-48. Falcons actually go to 3-1. The Panthers surprisingly dropping to 1-3, and of course, the amazing performance by Julio Jones, 12 receptions, 300 yards, only the sixth receiver in history to do that, and a touchdown. So tell me, Ryan, what's wrong with the Carolina Panthers?
Yeah, I think they're fundamentally lacking in the most important part of the modern game, which is the passing game on both sides. I know that we typically have a balance on the show. You bring the stats and I bring the strong opinions, but I did some stat research today. So I got some.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, look at this. The world is changing. Here we go.
That's right. On the offensive side, you got Carolina, they're 6th in points, and they're 4th in total yards, but, they're 8th in rushing yards, but they're only 10th in passing yards. A concerning stat, which is always concerning, a vital stat is the turnover ratio, and they're a -3 at this point in the year. On the defensive side, they're 28th in points, they're 12th in total yards against, and they're 10th against the rush, and they're in the teens against the pass. So their defense is not elite this year, and I think what you're starting to see is that Ely is a great defensive lineman, no doubt. And obviously, Thomas Davies and Luke Kuechly are probably one of the, if not the best, linebacking cores in the NFL. And but outside of that, the defense, especially with Norman gone, is they're struggling this year. And I know Cam's been a little bit hobbled, and he definitely has taken a beating since week one on. But he's got a 57% completion percentage this year. His quarterback rating's at 80, and he's got a 6-5 touchdown ratio passing. He does have two rushing touchdowns to add in there, but a pretty mediocre start to the season for him. Jonathan Stewart being out is hurt, but this game is the one that says a lot. They lost opening night in Denver. They lost at home against the Vikings, but those are probably the best and second best defense in the NFL this year. But then to lose to the Falcons. I started to have a late opinion late in the week that I thought they were gonna lose that game, and I think that they're in a downward spiral, and I think they're gonna have a really really bad year in the 1-3 is the beginning of it.
Yeah, do you think there's a problem could be in that Cam Newton actually had a concussion from week one and never really recovered from it? Because they say that once you get concussed once, it's easier for you to concuss the second and third time. And now he suffered essentially one concussion, but really I think two concussions in the first four games. He's still kind of questionable now for week five. Ron Rivera came out and said he had no idea what Newton's status will be for week five. So what do you think? Do you think this is something to do with why they're not firing on all cylinders on offense? Is that Cam Newton is just, he's still suffering from concussion symptoms?
I think that's part of it. I think the other part is that, you see the game kind of the NFL going cycles. When an offense comes out and kind of does something different, defenses usually catch up to it. And I don't think that people truly appreciated enough last year. If you watch the Carolina Panthers closely, they run some really exotic run blocking packages. I mean, they have plays where they're pulling a center. I know actually we saw Pouncey do this the other night for the Steelers, but you know, Carolina is one of the first teams to really implement just like, I mean, having backside tackles and the center coming out leading on pulling run on running plays. And you know, not as gimmicky as the wild card, but I think like anything, their exotic run packages, people have started to figure out. And now you look at when all you have to really do is come down on Kelvin Benjamin, take him out of the game, and key on Greg Olsen. You know, you really thought that maybe Funchess would start to kind of step up a little bit this year, but it really hasn't been there yet. So it's kind of, you know, a lot's been put on Cam with Jonathan Stewart out. So I do think there's a little bit there injury-wise, but I also think that last year they were able to do a lot more with their run game, and that defenses have kind of had now a year of tape to review on that, and they're now kind of coming into the game a little less blind and ready to shut down the run.
Yeah, but now also, you know, with Jonathan Stewart out, I mean, I think that we were all kind of, in some ways, we've underrated the fact that Jonathan Stewart's a very important part of this offense. I mean, if you look at the fact that, you know, he did play week one, week two. Week one, it was only a one-point loss to the Broncos. That was a number of reasons why that happened. The Broncos are a superior defense. They managed to stomp on the 49ers. And then, you know, Fozzie Whitaker and Cameron Artis Payne are not together Jonathan Stewart. Or are they in any way individually Jonathan Stewart? So, I mean, do you think that's a major concern for them? I mean, if they don't get Jonathan Stewart back, maybe this is going to be a one-dimensional team. I mean, I don't think we're going to be able to lean on Cameron Artis Payne or Fozzie Whitaker or Tolbert in any way, shape, or form like they did with Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah, absolutely. They need Jonathan Stewart to come back, and like I said, they really need Devin Funchess to elevate his game here.
Right. So I think that the goat of the game, I mean, the absolute worst performance of the game has got to be Benay Benwickery. I mean, he got absolutely torched by Julio Jones and then got torched by, I believe, Aldrick Robinson. So he basically was torched by everybody. I think he ended up allowing more than 250 yards and two touchdowns in a single day. And he was way behind. He was getting burnt on every route. I mean, the guy was obviously not in great condition. I mean, part of it wasn't his problem. I mean, it wasn't necessarily his issue because he wasn't supposed to be shadowing Julio Jones. And quite frankly, on defense, you can't have a guy like that on man-on-man, one-on-one coverage. You need to have a safety roll over to help. There's no way you're going to contain Julio Jones with a guy like this. The rookie, James Bradbury, was supposed to be covering Jones early, had a toe injury, had to leave. They left him with Benwickery, and he did a terrible job. I'm coming around. I really do think that the Carolina Panthers defense is not scary anymore. It's just simply not scary. It's not elite. And, you know, just looking, and I think your stats kind of back it up. I think they're kind of middle of the road. They're not terrible, but they're not a good defense anymore. Do you think there's any chance they can actually make it be successful on their offense alone if Cam can get it going again?
Yeah, because the NFC South sucks. So you got three teams at 1-3, and then you got Matt Ryan, the ultimate second half of the season choke artist from his time at BC through his entire professional career in Atlanta. So they'll come back down to earth, and that'll be yet again, unlike last year, but the couple years before that, that'll someone at 8-8 or 9-7 is going to win that division. So they're far from out of it. But the last thing I'll say on it is whoever in the front office in the offseason decided that Josh Norman was a system corner that they could replace, he should be updating his resume because they need to let him go by the end of the year.
Totally agree with that, 100%, 100%. All right, let's flip to the other side of the ball. Atlanta Falcons, are they for real?
Absolutely not. They're a little bit, you know, they have some flashy aspects to them. Julio Jones is obviously hands down one of the three best receivers. I'd still put AB first, but obviously he's in the conversation there. But this is who Matt Ryan is, and you know, it really comes down to my feelings on Matt Ryan that 2007 it was in BC, he led them to an 8-0. They upset Virginia Tech, and then he couldn't beat Maryland, and he couldn't beat Clemson down the stretch, or it was Maryland and Wake Forest. Like, Matt Ryan is good until you expect him to be good, and then he's bad. So if they get on a little bit of a roll here, even if they get to like a 6-1 start, I still have them finishing at 9-7 kind of deal.
Yeah, and I actually am a little bit worried about the receiving core, too. I really don't think that Mohamed Sanu, Aldrick Robinson, Taylor Gabriel is an impressive 2, 3, and 4 wide receiver on that team. I think that they're going to have some problems. If anyone can find a way to contain Julio Jones, and they did 2 weeks ago contain him, I think it can be problems for them, in addition to Matt Ryan imploding over time. So let's go ahead and flip over to the next game on the list, and that is the Rams at the Cardinals, where the Rams managed to beat the Cardinals, surprisingly going to 3-1 without the help of Todd Gurley. And then the Cardinals, much hyped in the preseason, lose another one. So what's the deal here? What's wrong with the Arizona Cardinals?
I think the hype around both these teams was much manufactured based off of what they did last year in a down year in the NFC. You have to remember the landscape of the NFC last year. The Vikings were still, I think, a year or two away from putting it together, which we see now. The Packers didn't have Jordy Nelson. Randall Cobb was injured large parts of the season. Eddie Lacy was eating, as he likes to tweet out, China food every night and putting on 50 pounds during the season. You had Seattle coming off of 2 years where they went to the Super Bowl. So I think there was a little bit of fatigue and burnout with them last year. So it was a down year, and two front-running finesse teams kind of elevated last year, and people bought in. I don't think the Arizona Cardinals are that good of a team. I think they have some nice pieces on the offense, but I think that they're kind of a finesse team. They're not the kind of team that if they're in a fight that they can win the game. They can't play smash mouth football. And again, I'm not how I feel about the run, but you have to be able to do it to some facsimile. And I don't mean the way David Johnson runs the ball. And I love David Johnson. He's the star of a couple of my fantasy
dynamic
teams, but if the Arizona Cardinals are facing a third and a long 1 yard situation, I have zero faith they're going to pick that up by running it between the tackles. That's just the kind of team they are to me. And they're soft at their core. So a couple stats on them since on the offensive side of the ball, 14th in points, 15 in rush yards, because I just think that they don't commit to the run enough. They get too pass happy, and they've been trailing a bunch. 7th in the pass total yards, and tied for 6. So they got a -1 turnover ratio. And then on the defensive side, they're 11th in points, 20th in rush yards, 8th in total yards, and 7th against the pass. And then they're tied for 6 in sacks, which I was actually surprised about because I know they had a rough pass rush last year, and I know they added Chandler Jones, obviously. But to be tied for 6 in sacks is pretty good at this point. So overall, I mean, those are all middling stats. They're kind of just an average team right now. And then if you look at Carson Palmer, 81.9 rating, 6-5 TD ratio. He's been sacked 12 times. And he's got a 58% completion percentage. So, for both teams that we're talking about with Carolina and now with Arizona, they're the middle of the road teams this year, basically, with their stats, and then their quarterback play has been below average. And if you have a quarterback whose rating is in the low 80s, then you have to have a defense like Denver. You have to have a defense like the Vikings. And if you don't have one of those defenses, you can't win playing that kind of football, because your defense is going to give up 23 points a game, and you're going to get into a shootout, and you've got a guy who's completing the ball, 58% of the time, that's not getting it done.
Yeah, but so if we take the Buffalo game, the Buffalo game was tragically bad, right? I mean, he was basically Fitzpatrick-ed that game, it was pretty terrible, 4 interceptions, no touchdowns, only completed about 52% of his passes. But if you look at the rest of the games, last week wasn't great, but he also had that concussion. But if you look at the first two games, they're really not so bad. He's averaging at around 60% completion percentage, and he had 5 total touchdowns, no interceptions. He looked, like he was more in control of that offense. Things kind of fell off a cliff in Buffalo. Is that, do you think, because Buffalo's defense is any good? And that's actually kind of a little bit of foreshadowing there, because we are going to talk about the Buffalo Bills in a second. Or do you think that it's actually a product of the Arizona Cardinals not having a focused offense?
I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick, who the week after his matchup with the Bills, you know, was carved up for six interceptions. So, or he carved up the Bills in the week after he went through six interceptions. So, it's not that the Buffalo defense can't be had. And, you know, it's one of those things, again, where stats can be deceiving. I mean, the Patriots definitely in the late third quarter and throughout the fourth quarter let the Cardinals back into that game. But before then, they'd pretty much shut down Carson Palmer. And then I think they went into their, we have a rookie quarterback on the road. Let's just try to bleed the timeout and get out of this game. And they started playing soft zone coverage. And that's when Carson started to really complete all of his passes in that game. So I didn't think he was overly impressive in that game. And you know, I think historically with Carson, you see ebbs and flows in his career where he has and a lot of it's marred by injury, but he'll have a couple good seasons in a row, and then he'll have a really bad season. And he's had a couple good ones in a row. So just by his history, you know, I'm not surprised to see kind of the start of a down year for him. But, you know, the Patriots defense, although they haven't played like a top five or even top 10 defense right now, I'd say that they're definitely talent-wise a top 10 defense. The Bills are definitely a top five defense, and the LA Rams are a top five defense. So he has faced three hard defenses at the first 4 weeks, but still, I'm not going to make excuses for them. They've been average at best, and you know, now they're facing an uphill climb in one of the toughest divisions, and they've allowed a division opponent in the Rams to get to 3-1. So
So that's interesting. I mean, what about the Rams? I mean, is the HBO Hard Knocks hype all worth it? I mean, is he actually a good team? I mean, is he going to be able to get them to better than 500 this year?
You know my feelings about Jeff Fisher, but
I do know your feelings about Jeff Fisher.
It's so maddening because I want them to be so bad. Because of the fact that, you know, Gurley has not been running the ball great this year. It makes me unbelievably angry that you have a new franchise in a new city. You have a horrible, horrible backup in Casey Keenum. I'm sorry, Casey Keenum's a borderline NFL quarterback. And I have my questions about Goff too. But I think he should be out there playing. What I think is happening is I think that Fisher knows he might have been on the hot seat a little bit this year. So I think he's not playing the kid, and he's playing it safe with somebody with a little bit of experience, because he's hoping to get through this year and sneak into a playoff spot to maybe save his position and then try out Goff next year. But, I mean
– Yeah, I mean, they're winning, though. There's almost no motivation at this point. I mean, Casey Keenum is not good. I agree with that. But they're winning with Casey Keenum under center. So there really isn't any motivation to change anything at this time, is it?
No, they absolutely don't. I mean, and it's crazy. They win that home against Seattle 9-3. They win this one 7-3.
It was unbelievable.
Like, it's 1970s football. You know, it's watching the Rams regress as this 40 years. But hey, they're winning. They're 3-1. So you gotta give it to them. But it doesn't mean that they're enjoyable to watch in any way.
No,
you know, last year, Gurley breaking off chunk yardage in the run game, and like, you don't even have that now. It's a punt fest.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It is no fun. It is absolutely no fun to watch the Rams play. Whether they're even Rams fans probably can't be enjoying this, even though they're 3-1 at this point. So let's move this on to your favorite game of the week, Bills at the Patriots, where the Bills, I guess in some ways surprisingly, shut out the Patriots 16-0. I say surprisingly, of course, because of the fact that we had an injured Jacoby Brissett behind center, and there were other issues as well. So tell us a little bit about that. First of all, are the Bills going to be able to make a run for it? And secondly, is there an issue with the Patriots, or is this just a situational issue?
So I was really worried going into Sunday. September is traditionally the time of year where the Bills Mafia gets to hold up their September Super Bowl trophy. And I was really worried for them that they weren't going to get to this year. So I'm beyond happy for those guys up there, because, you know, it's been a long time. 99 was, 17 years ago now. As I like to remind the Bills fans on social media all the time, you know, Doug Flutie ain't walking through that door. So, congrats to them. typical Bills, typical Bills. They're not for real. They're not going to vie for the AFC East. They do have a legit defense. That offense, I mean, it's maybe a half grade above the offense we just made fun of in LA. You know, I think the part that sums it up is all the grandstanding they did after the game. And if you watch the game on TV, they're shushing the Gillette crowd. They're mocking them on the sideline, which, from my personal standpoint as a Patriot fan, I was not mad they lost this game. I didn't like their chances as soon as I knew Jimmy was out. But you know, you're mocking a crowd and taunting a crowd and shushing a crowd at a place that you're 2-13 in, and your two wins came 2 years ago when the Patriots had already sewn up the AFC and your season was already over. The Patriots
one second, Ryan. Hold on. I just want to alert everybody. We got the Patriots on tap here. We got the Patriots super fan on tap here. So go ahead. Now you can go. Go ahead.
Okay. So you're 2-13 lifetime in Gillette. You won 2 years ago when the Patriots had already locked up the number one seed in the playoffs, and Jimmy Garoppolo played in his rookie year in that game. I think 2.5 quarters. He at least played the entire second half, but I think he played part of the second quarter as well. So you won that game, and then you won against an injured third-string backup quarterback, and you have the gall to taunt the crowd like you did something. And I'm so excited for, I think it's 4 weeks from now when Brady's back and we get to go up to Buffalo, because it is an absolute joke, and it's a top-down thing. It comes from that buffoon of a coach who runs his yap, who's 5-11 against the Patriots in his career, who constantly talks about Super Bowls, not kissing anybody's rings, never made a freaking Super Bowl, and an organization that, you know, the closest they ever came, their kicker came out there and shanked it wide right. So, you know, my feelings towards Buffalo are very clear. You know, I tweeted at my favorite Buffalo Bill, Aaron Williams, who can't cover anybody, who actually single-handedly almost cost him the week two matchup against the Patriots last week because he was running around hitting people after the play because he was so hyped up and out of his freaking mind. And he's out there doing it again, you know, this week. I don't believe in them. I think they have a great defense. I think that offense is a high school offense, and it's not sustainable. And, again, there, you know, Brady was out for 4 weeks, and he's still coming back to a team that's in first in the AFC. So the Bills finish out 8-9.
I'm calling the round on that one because you just scored a knockout on this. I actually agree with everything you say. Honestly, I do think that the Bills are basically fool's gold at this point, particularly without Sammy Watkins. We all know that. With Sammy Watkins, they have at least some upside on offense. Sammy Watkins going basically on injured reserve, probably won't come back for a long time. Earliest getting back on week 12, there's zero chance that they are going to be able to run the gambit and do anything positive with the likes of Robert Woods and Marquise Goodwin catching the ball. That's just not going to happen. And I actually like Tyrod Taylor. I don't think he's a bad quarterback. And I like LeSean McCoy, but I agree with everything you said there. It's not going to be good for them, and I have a feeling that when New England goes back up there with Brady, it's going to be an issue there as well. So that being said, I do want to ask you one more thing about the Patriots, and that is Rob Gronkowski. From what I hear, hamstring issue may still be an issue, and we thought it'd be better by week three. Only played a couple snaps, ran a couple routes last week. Wasn't a big part of the offense. We all know that once Brady comes back, if Gronk's healthy, he's going to be a superstar. But the question is, do you think this is serious? Do you think that actually Rob Gronkowski may not make it back onto the field at 100% this year? And is it a result of the Madden curse? He is, again, on the cover of Madden 17. So I don't know. The Madden curse, it is for real. What do you think?
You know, I don't think it's the Madden curse. I think he will be at 100%. I think they're taking it easy on him. They're not sending him out into a lot of routes. One of the best theories I read this past week, which I hadn't really thought of, but I think they were doing, is that the last 2 weeks with Jacoby Brissett, you know, Gronk's the guy who takes a lot of hits down low. and has a lot of injuries from that. So maybe they didn't trust Jacoby to throw seam routes to him and not lead him into a safety, you know, taking out Hunting at his knees. So I think that's part of it. I think there's part of the injury. And Rob Gronkowski, you know, people forget that in 2013, you know, a lot of sports talk radio, myself, a lot of people around here were talking about, would we trade Gronk for a first-round pick considering he could never stay healthy? Of course, he came back the next year, was healthy throughout the entire year, and they win the Super Bowl. And so that talk has kind of subsided again, but it's kind of rearing back again now, back-to-back years injury. This is a guy who, since his time in Arizona in college, you know, has always been injury-prone, and it's why he fell in the draft, the back issues and the way he plays.
Right.
So I don't think he's ever 100% out there, but I think he'll be playing like the real Gronkowski come the playoff stretch.
All right. So let's turn to our last game of the day, and that is the Giants at the Vikings. The Monday night game, Giants getting pretty much manhandled by the Vikings defense, losing 10-24, not really showing any signs of life at all. Are the Vikings defense for real?
They are. And I didn't really do any stats on this one. I took a different approach because it's really amazing what the Vikings have done under the radar. The Dallas Cowboys get so much love for how patient they were drafting that offensive line. I'm going to throw in three offensive guys at the end, but let me just raffle off several names here. Anthony Barr, okay. Everson Griffin, Daniel Hunter, Xavier Rhodes, Sendejo, Kendricks, Waynes, Mackenzie Alexander, Stephon Diggs, Jarrett McKinnon, and Kyle Rudolph. And if you include the injured reserve list, you throw Teddy Bridgewater in there, and then even the rookie Laquon Treadwell. And what you have in common there with all those names is they were all drafted by the Minnesota Vikings. They have taken a really patient approach the last 5 to 8 years, and they've drafted a lot of talent. They've cultivated that talent, and now you see it all coming up together at the same time. I mean, it's impressive what they've built over there, and it's sustainable because these are homegrown guys, and they've added Alex Boone on the offensive line and Terrence Newman in the secondary for some good veteran pickups, but it's majorly, you know, guys they drafted and developed.
Yeah, and what a job Xavier Rhodes did on OBJ yesterday. I mean, amazing. Really, really shut him down. Career lows all across the board. Really something. I think they are one of the up-and-coming teams, and it is surprising how they built it. They built it from the bottom up, just like you said, from the draft. Super impressive. I'm really impressed with that. And, of course, I'm happy to see Kyle Rudolph, former Notre Dame star tight end, really light it up again and be good with Bradford. He really is a great tight end, so I'm glad to see him burst back onto the scene because there were a couple of years there where people said he couldn't be basically an every-down move tight end, and he's really kind of proved them wrong over the last two or three games. Three games, actually, because he's got a touchdown in the last three games with Bradford. So the Giants, let me just ask you quickly about them. I know Joey made you promise not to say anything terrible about them, but, boy, they were terrible. So tell me, you think the Giants are going anywhere, or is this basically what they are?
I think this is basically what they are. It's what they've been for forever, and it's what you get with Eli Manning in the regular season. Inconsistent at best. And furthermore, I'm not the only person with this opinion, and it's a pretty popular opinion right now. I'm in the majority. I am so sick of OBJ's antics, his whining, and all that comes with it. He's a great player, super talented, but just play football because no one wants to hear your excuses or your whining anymore.
Totally agree, and actually I am very excited about Sterling Shepard. I think he looks really good, and quite frankly, I'm more excited about watching Victor Cruz play because he's actually been very solid recently than I am of OBJ because the attitude is a little bit much at this point. It doesn't take much for him to go flying off the handle anymore, and all the teams are going to know that, and that's a big weakness for them. Although I will say this, though, I was happy to see Orleans Darkwa vulture a touchdown in that game, won me my fantasy showdown, so I was pretty excited about that. That's the only thing I enjoyed about last night's game, I can tell you. and of course, seeing Kyle Rudolph break back onto the scene. All right, so we're running out of time, Ryan, so give us your Twitter handle so all our fans can follow you.
Yeah, it's at Ryan Whitfield, N-E, and quickly, I know you told me this, that you know we've had a lot of new listeners the last couple of weeks, so I just want to thank everyone who's been checking out the podcast.
Yeah, thanks everybody for checking them out on iTunes and on TuneIn Radio and on Blog Talk Radio. Check us out on our website, footballgarbagetime.com. You can follow me at FBGarbageTime on Twitter. And until next week, and I think we're going to try and do another one in order to preview the next set of games, enjoy your football week.